So we're here with Cesar, a dev lead on the SQL Server team. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So for SQL Server 2008, what were the major improvements that you were involved with, and what's your role?
I am the development lead for the Query Optimizer team, and what our team does is you get any declarative query to be processed, and we generate an execution plan or a way to go evaluate this query and try to do that in the most efficient way possible. Right? So that's our scope. So anytime you're looking into a new query performance feature or new extensions in new operations or new data types, my team will get involved on that. So for SQL 2008, a couple of things that we did were one. Special star join processing, and this is for queries that are issued on large data warehousing, large data warehouses, evaluate those more efficiently. Another one was parallel execution of partition tables. This has been parallel since they were introduced in SQL 2005, but there were some scenarios where they didn't work well, and I can get into the detail for you.
Okay.
The other one was the introduction of the spatial data types, spatial and geographical data types in SQL Server, which is a great new feature.
Yep.
And again, you want your spatial queries to be executed quickly, and if you can use indices to narrow searches, you want to use those. So these are three larger features that my team was involved on for SQL 2008.
Cool. So we've talked a bit with some other folks about the star join query optimization and have a general sort of feeling for what that was all about. We've talked a little bit about spatial, and we haven't talked at all about the partition table parallelism. So could you explain sort of with spatial and what that's like to try and optimize those queries, and what were some of the difficult challenges there?
Okay. So I'll tell you about you're saying the spatial and partition table.
Yeah, so we can talk about both of them.
Okay. So I'll tell you about the spatial, just how spatial indexing works.
Okay.
You can have a query that says select something something, and here in the where clause, you can have something like overlaps a column in the table with some particular value. So this describes a polygon, a region, and this column of the table has many regions, and what this is saying is find all the rows where there is some overlap between the specified region and the row. So one thing you can do is you have this table, you have this the column, and you execute query per query, you test this condition query per query, and that is correct, except you're going to be running through all of these and invoking this function many, many times, and it's an expensive function.
Right. So overlaps is this idea of multiple shapes. So like if we're sort of had a couple shapes in the database, we had a something like that, and then another one that was like this, is that polygon, and it would find this region. Is that the overlaps feature to understand, or is that not really what's going on there?
No, this is the way I'm using it here. You have many different polygons in the database. So all of the red things are every row of this table has a polygon.
Maybe this
form. And then you're specifying a region that you want to, where you want to find rows whose polygons are in this region.
Okay.
So you're looking for houses that are in the Redmond area or something like that.
Okay,
so
got
it. It's a list of many different regions, and you're looking for those that are in this particular space.
Or
if these are points, is restaurants within 2 miles of Redmond, Microsoft Redmond campus, that kind of thing.
Okay, got it.
So you can do this point by point, this test point by point, or you can use an index. And where my team was involved in was creating and exploiting the index for operations like this. And the way this index works is for every one of these polygons, we're going to extract like a fingerprint. If you look at this, the internal representation of this, it is a sequence of points, and it's variable, and it's relatively complex. So what we do is we extract a fingerprint that that identifies cells in the space as these touches. So it's like you draw a larger grid. You draw a larger grid like this. And then for every polygon, you're going to output the IDs of everything that touches it. So okay. It's going to be like a fuzzy picture of an area. Like
when okay, you interesting.
Load
yeah.
an image, low resolution, you're going to be have big granules.
Right.
And each of these big granules has an ID. So what we do is each of these IDs will correspond to a number, and for each row, we're going to get a set of points, maybe it's 5, 7, 15, 20. And this is the low-resolution fingerprint for your polygon.
Okay.
And so for each one of these rows, you'll come up with a number of points like this. And then for the parameter you're interested in, you again get the low-resolution fingerprint, maybe 5, 20, and 25. And at that point, you're more into just a set membership or set overlaps.
Sure.
You look for all the files over here, and this gives you some candidate numbers to go check over on this side. And then you look at the 20, and you say, well, it's this one, and this one. And depending how selective your region is with respect to the whole space, maybe this has 1 million rows, but you pre-selected only 100 candidates.
Right.
Now, this is still the low-resolution membership thing. So after you identify this 100 candidates, you need to go and do the detailed comparison and say, does this overlap or not? And then decide, decide what you're going to do. But doing this approach of this indexing through a low-resolution grid speeds up your query dramatically, right? Because you can...
Yeah, that's awesome. I've worked with Spatial a little bit in SQL Server 2008 and in other database platforms, and I've always wondered how indexes worked. I wouldn't have assumed it was this type of thing.
So yeah,
it's interesting to see.
The technology behind it. And there are a few other things, like this is not actually a flat grid, but there's some level of hierarchy there.
Okay.
Different granularities on how detailed this is.
And that's what I was wondering. So when your search space gets larger, like how does the index sort of perform? So I'm sure those are the types of problems. So
that we're looking to for formalizing all this.
Cool. Yes. So that's the spatial stuff. What about
this
partition table parallelism? What's that all about?
So you partition. So I'll give you two extreme, and then I'll show you something in the middle. So something that we've had for a long time is parallel scans of single tables. And what we do is, at the low level, this table is split into pages, and we're going to feed these pages as quickly as we can into multiple threads. So
right.
At the low level, there is some algorithm that goes and traverses this quickly and feeds off pages to the different threads as soon as they are ready to take them, right? So
okay.
This functionality has been there. SQL 2000, maybe before, but at least SQL 2000, this functionality was there. Now, when you split a table into multiple partitions, this was done at the storage engine layer. When you split a table into multiple partitions, the storage engine only sees each of these independently. So when we first introduced the partition table feature in SQL 2005, the way the query plan, the parallel query plan looked was we had a nested loops with a enumeration of partitions. So 1, 2, 3, 4, these numbers came up here. And then on the other side, we had a scan operation. And we parallelize this in such a way that every partition would be handed off to one thread. So this gets assigned to one thread, this gets assigned to one thread, this gets assigned to one thread. And if you have very many partitions, like say you have 100 partitions and you have 4 threads, this scales very well because every thread works on a completely set of pages and doesn't interact with the other, doesn't nobody steps on each other's toes.
Okay.
Which is something that happens here to some extent. I mean, there is, this is a single list that you are traversing and you're handing off pages. So there are limits to the scalability of this one. But here this scales much better. However, if you have something, if you don't have that many partitions.
Right.
So if you have, for example, just two partitions, and you have eight CPUs, this model breaks badly because you're going to use one thread here and second thread here, and you're going to have six threads idle that are not doing anything.
Okay.
And
so
it's a big bad thing.
With partition table parallelism in 2005, if you were, say, querying on one partition, all threads available would work on that? So my understanding was that we had customers, especially in data warehousing scenarios, where if they were querying on, say you were partitioned by month, and they're querying on the current month, and they've got eight processors, then they're fast results. But then once their query spanned 2 months, and it had to span two partitions,
right,
then it went down to only using two threads,
right,
and all the other six,
right,
are unused.
Right.
So
right.
They see
exactly
this bizarre degradation.
It's a strange behavior that,
right,
if you were within one partition, things would be parallel, but as soon as you span two, then the performance would degrade. And that is because if we knew that you were going after a single partition, we reverted back to the model that we had before of single B3 go do it in parallel. That was easy enough to do, but when you had two partitions, we had the behavior that you described, and it was a source of confusion. And
sure. So in 2008, what did we do to address that?
So in 2008, what we do is a combination of these two things, and so here's how the combination works. So there is this storage engine layer. The storage engine is able to do this. Read many pages through multiple threads. In 2005, we had this model of for each of these partitions, assign a thread and go read it. And in 2008, we have a combined model where instead of looking at this in the plan, this is combined into a single query execution iterator, QE. Partition scan.
Okay.
Now, once this is a single operator, it really has the ability to issue things either this way or that way, depending on how many partitions you have. And that's what happens currently.
Okay.
So you will now see a graceful behavior of you're scanning one partition, well, it's done in parallel. If you're scanning two partitions, it's still done in parallel. And as you move on, you will keep all your threads occupied.
Okay, so essentially what we've done is we've made it so if you've got, it will maximize the use of threads whether you're spanning partitions or not, so that sort of behavior
correct
that we've seen in the past is
correct
fixed.
Correct.
Cool.
Correct.
So and this works for the...
And now it is the smooth
awesome
curve.
So partition-aligned index views also work with this query plan? Is that true? So a lot of data warehouses will use index views per partition so they can drop
yes
and recreate them
yes. Yes.
As data is refreshed. So
yes.
This will...
Yes. Yeah. Now, you touch on another feature that we worked on and we may want to mention quickly, that is this partition-aligned index views.
Uh-huh.
And that has to do with this switch partition functionality.
Uh-huh.
One of the common operations in data warehouses is either to add a new partition or to drop an old partition and do that efficiently without having to touch much data. So when this functionality was introduced in 2005, you were not allowed to have index views when you did switch.
Okay.
If there were any other dependent objects, you couldn't do switch.
I see.
And that was an issue. That was a restriction because it's also common in data warehouses to have an index view to speed up some processing. So
right,
the partition line index views, the idea there was, you're doing a switch, you're doing a switch into a new partition for table key, and you also happen to have an index view, but this index view is such that if you insert a partition here, all you need to do is also insert a partition on the index view.
Oh, okay.
And so we now extended the switch functionality to allow you to switching this larger object as opposed to a simple table.
Great. So in general, we've done some pretty cool things to enable data warehousing scenarios and sort of next generation applications with Spatial
and some exciting work.
So this morning, SQL Server RTM'd.
It did.
It's exciting, huh? Does it feel good to have that thing out the door, off your back?
It's wonderful. I'm looking forward to just go out to the party in
nice.
Half an hour or so.
Okay, cool. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.